Psalm 133. And it reads, a song of ascents of David. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life evermore. May the Lord be blessed by the reading, hearing, and daily application of his holy word. Father, we just so thank you for another day, another opportunity to gather and worship your name. Father, we just ask that you now prepare our hearts to receive a word from you. Lord, we ask that you would use our brother Vernon to speak to us from you through him. And Lord, help your word to find and fall on good ground, that we can take what you share with us and apply it in your world to make your name famous. Bless us in our time in your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank God for that today. Thank God for his word. Thank you, Brother Derek, for praying, praying, reading the word, man. My heart is just glad, again, just glad to be here. Brother Derek and I, where he was joking with me earlier this morning, because I'm standing up, he said, oh, Lord, you about to preach, and I said, Holy Spirit, help me. So we're glad to be here again with you, Embassy Church, glad to be here with Kinship Family as well, as we do this joint virtual service. That is awesome to me that we are able to connect across our various platforms. And Brother Derek, thank you again for reading that scripture. And we want to talk today in our brief time with you about united in chaos, right? We want to talk about united in chaos. And the big idea that we put before you this morning is we live in a world that is painfully divided. We look politically, socially, economically, and racially, and we see the lines of relational demarcation. This relational demarcation fans the flames of chaos, and dangerously dividing the brothers and sisters whose unity should yield the Lord's commanded blessing, right? So we've got relational demarcation that has caused dangerous divides among brothers and sisters that should be yielding the Lord's blessing, right? And I want to say this too. Let me define the word demarcation. Let me share the definition of demarcation. So demarcation is the action of fixing a boundary or setting limits of something. It is a dividing line, right? So relational demarcation, therefore, is the act of fixing a boundary, limiting or creating lines of who can be and who should be in relationship. It's the creation of what I call survival silos, right? Rather than a thriving collective. And many want us to be stuck in survival silos, fighting each other for crumbs, fighting each other for basic necessities, fighting each other for whatever you name it, right? There are forces, hear this well, there are forces that want us to be torn apart, right? Those of us who read our word and understand that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places, understand that there are forces that do not want this, right? And remember the big idea. They do not want brothers and sisters to dwell together in unity. We're going to unpack that later, right? Because we can have in this culture what I call false unity, where we think it's unity because maybe we've aligned based on those things that those fault lines, like politics and economic. We think that's not unity, right? We're going to unpack that later. But we need to understand that there are forces that do not want us, brothers and sisters, operating in unity, because our unity is a powerful thing that does a powerful thing. And we're gonna unpack that. And we need to be clear on that, that our unity as brothers and sisters is under attack because our very unity is a powerful thing that can cause powerful things to happen in our culture, right? So let me pray as we receive that. Father, I thank you for the word that you dropped. I thank you for the word, God, that you're giving to us. And as we have unpacked the text, as Brother Pastor Derek has read that, and as we begin to unpack this big idea. We pray for open hearts and minds, God, that we would receive what you've given to us, and we would be better for it. So God, thank you for the word today, and thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. So I want to begin by acknowledging that the world has lost so many lives to the current COVID-19 pandemic. I want to begin there. And I want to say that number, which is about 180,000 people. And just think about that. That's a huge number, right? That's a huge number. And there are people all across our country. And that was just in the United States, right? That number is in the United States. There are people all across our country that are mourning. And then if you go globally, that number is 10 times, they're nearly 10 times that, right? And so people are mourning, people are grieving. This pandemic has caused so much grief. And so I want to acknowledge that in this moment, and I want to mourn with those who mourn, and I want to stand with those families, and we lift them up, and we pray that God's peace that passes all understanding would cover them, right? And that pain is real. That pain is sits there with them, but we know that they don't go through that alone, right? And so we also know that not just COVID-19 has caused disruption, but in the superhero world, we experienced a loss, right? The Black Panther, Chadwick Boseman, the king of Wakanda, right? He took his journey home. And after battling with colon cancer for the last 4 years, amazing that you see this brother was battling with colon cancer for the last 4 years and everything that he put out there. Just amazing. Sick and still letting his light shine, sick and still doing the things that he did. He answered the call to go home and be perfectly healed. And he was the king of Wakanda, right? You know, y'all been walking around Wakanda forever, right? And we were amazed by Wakanda, especially as Black people. We were excited about Wakanda because he was the king of Wakanda, the leader of a land that highlighted Black excellence, that highlighted Black beauty, that highlighted Black love, strength, and unity. With Wakanda as our backdrop, I want to unpack Psalms 133, right? I want you to have Wakanda in your mind, those of you who've seen it, those of you who've watched the movie, those of you who went out and all of a sudden bought African garb because, you know, you wanted to be connected to Wakanda, right? I want you to have that in the back of your mind to understand the unity that was on display there, right? And the benefits of the unity that was on display there. And I want you to understand that in the text we find in Psalms 133 that such unity is a rarity. That's the first thing I want you to, the first point today. Such unity is a rarity, right? When we saw Wakanda, right? We go to the Black Panther. We took a whole group of kids to see it, and they were excited. But here I was with some other adults, and we saw this movie, and our eyes were like, oh my goodness, the possibilities, right? We saw people on the same page. We saw people, you know, their brilliance was highlighted. The land was flourishing, and everything was perfect. They had not known intrusion. They had not, oh my goodness, it was a beautiful place. And everybody was excited because Wakanda represented some power because of unity, right? And let me just tell you this. It's not the first Wakanda, right? It wasn't the first Wakanda. Those of you who study your word, if you go to Acts, right? Acts chapter 2. I want to talk to you about a Wakanda there as we understand that again, the first point of this is this unity is rare, right? That's why he says, behold, how good, he says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is, right? For brother, it is it is like so rare. So when you see it, when you are a part of it, do everything that you can to preserve it. Now we're going to get to that preserve part later, but it is rare. And in our world that we are living in today, and by world, I mean church, people of faith, okay? Unity among us is rare. That's what the text is saying. Unity among brothers and sisters, right, is rare. And that's the sad part about it, because we come from a heritage of unity. We come from you look at Acts chapter 2, and they continued, verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders were signs were done with the apostles. Now all believed and were together and had all things in common, and they sold all their possessions and goods and divided them among anyone as they had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So Wakanda existed before it was on the big screen, right? It existed right here within the body of believers, right? And since that time, such unity is a rarity. That's why he says, when you see it, behold it, take it in. It's a good and it's a pleasant thing, right? But it's rare. I mean, the fact that we are today, two local bodies, Embassy and Kinship, united here today, we need to celebrate God and say, it's a rarity. You know, Derek got on and he said, man, hey, doesn't your service start at 10? And our service starts at 10. Well, how are you going to do that? I said, man, we got one service today, right? It's Embassy Kinship, right? Sounds like a good merger name right now. We said, it's Embassy Kinship, right? And we said, no, it's one family today. And it's a rarity. And we know this, Pastor Derek and I know this, those of you who are watching know this, it is very rare that people will let go of their own egos, right? And be able to come together and operate in such unity. So the first thing we need to understand is that this unity is rare. It is rare even today that we see Acts chapter 2 manifesting itself in the life of the church, right? Our churches have become corporatized. Our churches have become just like the American dream that is really the American nightmare for the believer. Because God is calling us to a different kind of unity. God is calling us to that Wakanda-like unity, right? Where we stand together as brothers and sisters and we are concerned about our brothers and sisters, where we are concerned about if they're fallen, we've fallen. If they're up, we're up. All of those things that we learn in Scripture, it's a rarity nowadays. And I want to submit to you that because it's rare is why the chaos is not rare. That's why everywhere you go, every city you go to, you can find the chaos, right? Every place you go, you can find the chaos. And I want to submit to us, because we're among family, that the chaos exists because our unity as brothers and sisters is rare. And I want to come to a conclusion that the chaos in certain spaces would be ended if we could get along, right? If the brothers and sisters who are supposed to be brothers and sisters could act right. Man, I remember growing up, the worst thing I could do growing up is fight with my sister, right? And my mom, my dad, now you tussle with somebody else, okay, it is what it is. But you don't lay hands on your blood, right? You know what I'm saying? And that was the worst thing. I still today, like, my kids know, like, they're going to argue back and forth, and I get it, but nothing sends the hair on the back of my head standing tall than when I hear my kids attacking each other. That's not what brothers and sisters are supposed to do. But that's what we're dealing with. Even my brother, Dr. Brandon Washington, right? Under attack because he is a man of God, right? He stands boldly on the things of God. He is a man who says, this is the word, and he stands flat-footed on it, and he's got other folks who are supposed to be our brothers and sisters coming at him sideways because he's just telling the truth. Yeah, see, y'all didn't know I was going to talk about that today, but I need folks to understand that when they do those kind of things, they undermine the unity that is supposed to fortify the body of Christ. Now, you know, I'm not going to be united with a fool. Let me just say that too, and that's why I appreciate Brandon. Brandon stands boldly, and if you're wrong, you're wrong, right? But because we want to preserve the unity of in the Spirit, we tell you that and say, look, that ain't the word. That ain't the Lord. That's your politics. But that ain't the kingdom, right? And so we thank God for that. And so this is a rare thing. And y'all know it. Everybody can look around. It's a rare thing. It's a rare thing. But when we see it, when we behold it, I'm telling you, I have been jacked up all morning, excited about coming on here today with the Embassy Church. Last week got to be with the River of the Living Water Fellowship, right? And I'm just jacked up about the fact, like, yeah, let's bring our churches together today. Let's do it. Right? Let's commune together. Let's worship together. Let's share the word together. Man, that sounds like the Wakanda in the text. Right? So I'm excited about that. It's a rarity. We need to understand that. It's a rarity. And kids who might be watching with your families, it brings great joy to your mama and your daddy, or whoever's raising you, grandmama, grandpapa, uncle, aunt. It brings great joy to them when y'all get along. Right? You find out a different side of your parents when y'all are getting along. There are benefits for you when y'all get along. We just took a road trip. Boy, Lord Hammer, we had to take two cars simply because we didn't want certain kids in the same car with each other arguing all the way down the highway. And they laughing right here. They laughing because they know who they are, right? We said, look, we need some unity down this road. This is a how long of a trip? 13, 12-hour trip. We can't have this disunity for 12 hours. We're going to need somebody in that car, and we're going to need to be in this car, right? Lord have mercy. It's a rarity. It's a rarity, right? It's a rarity when a family of seven can get in a car together and there's not an argument. Hallelujah. I'm a living witness. It's a rarity. But when it happens, oh, hallelujah, right? When it happens, when you go through a day and you sit there with your wife and you say, nobody argued today. Everybody got along today. Oh, you just thank God. You just start shouting and you hallelujah it because you say it is a rarity. And brothers and sisters, that's what we got to feel when we see brothers and sisters in Christ getting along with no issues and doing the work of the kingdom. It is worth a shout. Right where you at in your home, it's worth a shout. If you ain't got issues right now in this moment, thank God for this moment of unity. Okay? Hallelujah, right? It's a rarity. It's something that we gotta thank God for. It's a rarity, it says in the text. But we also gotta understand that not only is it a rarity, it is required to conquer the chaos, okay? It is required to conquer the chaos. We keep looking for all of these other solutions, and the solution is our unity, okay? The solution is brothers and sisters operating in unity. It is required to conquer the chaos. Those of you, again, going back to the home analogy, as long as your home, y'all know the text. Look, y'all probably already jumped ahead of me because y'all some great theologians, right? Unless the Lord builds the house, right? They labor in vain who build it. So when your house is all out of order, when things are operating outside of the way God wants them to operate, the chaos will continue. But it's not until that house gets on the same page with the Lord that the chaos ceases. Y'all think about the Jesus on the boat with the brothers, and Jesus is down there asleep, right? Down there sleeping, hold the boat. Got him a good pillow, right? Doing his, he's snoring maybe. No, he's the savior of the world. He didn't snore, right? So he down there having a good old sleep. Maybe like Pastor Derek got a good drool coming, you know. You know, Jesus doing his thing. And these guys upstairs, right? They're upstairs frantic. Oh my gosh. Oh my God. Lord, don't you care that we perish? Somebody go wake up Jesus, right? It's a great example of what happens when there's discord, right? The master is on one page and the people up in the ship are on a different page, right? So he's down there sleeping. Everything's good. We go. Remember he said to them, let's cross over to the other side. So let me tell you something. When Jesus says, let's cross over to the other side and a storm comes, you can't let the storm dictate the destination when Jesus already said we're crossing over to the other side. Now that's a whole nother sermon, right? But the point is that when Jesus is here on the page, like we good, we're going to cross over the other side, and you up there talking about, oh my God, we're going to perish, we're going to die, right? The only thing that can win is chaos because you're not on the same page. There's discord. So in order for the chaos to be conquered, it is required that we have unity, right? Turn to your neighbor. No, it's required that we have unity, right? Unity is required. You can try everything else that you want, okay? You can try everything else you want. Unity is what's required between the body of Christ, right? And we need to understand that we get nowhere as long as we continue to choose to operate in the chaos, right? We get nowhere as long as white Christians don't understand why Black Lives Matter. We get nowhere as long as white Christians don't understand that my Imago Dei is just as equal as their Imago Dei, and we're all made in the image of God, and he's placed us all into one family. We get nowhere as long as we are divided among racial lines and political lines and economic lines and social lines. We get nowhere in the chaos if we do not operate in the required unity, right? How do I know? Look, it's a required unity, right? It's a required unity, and this is why it's under attack. Look, turn quickly to John 17. John 17. Okay, John 17, verse 20. This is why I know it's required. It's not optional, right? It's not, we're going to choose to get along if we want to. It's not optional. It's required, right? John 17, verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. It is required because it is truly the Lord's prayer for his people to be united, so such unity becomes a testimony to the world that he is who he says he is. See, we don't understand the detrimental consequences of our disunity, the detrimental consequences of our discord or our relational demarcations are that the world does not see the truth about Jesus because they don't see Jesus in us. See, they've got to see Jesus in us. They've got to see us united beyond all of those things that they say that should divide us. Oh, you might be Republican, you might be Democrat, you might be independent, you might be rich, you might be poor, you might be black, you might be white, you might be tall, you might be short. Whatever the world has put out there as relational demarcations, and then all of a sudden, we supersede those racial demarcations, or we push those boundaries. We destroy those limits. Ah, sounds like what Jesus did on the cross. Don't let me get ahead of myself, right? Tearing down that wall of separation, right? But the reality is that when they see those walls of separation torn down, when they see us operating as brothers and sisters, when they see us sharing as brothers and sisters, when they see us walking the journey of life together, they say, wait a second, how did that happen? And the only answer we should be able to give them, had it not been for Jesus, right? Had it not been for Jesus, we would not be able to walk in the unity that is required to conquer the chaos. The unity is required to conquer the chaos. And the unity that is required to conquer the chaos is only realized by the working of the Holy Spirit. That's what this dew represents in the text. Like it drips down, it's representing this anointing oil. It's signifying the Holy Spirit. And I want to make sure y'all understand that I got my Wakanda stuff down, right? That in Wakanda, there were five tribes, right? So there were five tribes. They had the river tribe. They had the border tribe. They had the mining tribe. They had the merchant tribe. And they had the Jabari tribe. You know, some people say that there was a panther tribe, but there wasn't a panther tribe. The panther was just the royal ruling family, right? So there's no panther tribe. So anybody tells you there was a panther tribe, they don't know they're black. They don't know they're Wakanda, right? There's only five tribes, right? But the point of this is there were five tribes, but there was a Wakandian spirit that even though we were five tribes, we were one. Right? Sounds like something we read, right? One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Sounds like something I read, right? Something that we understand that in the text, God is saying, look, you may come from very different nations. You may come black. You may come white. You may speak Spanish. You may speak English. You may speak Mandarin. You may speak Russian. But when it comes to being a family, the Holy Spirit takes us from every tribe, every nation, every country, and he brings us together. Right? So I don't care. I celebrate the tribe you're from, but I also thank God that we're one tribe. Hallelujah, man. I thank God that we are one tribe. So we understand that it is only accomplished by the Holy Spirit. See, we're trying to force unity in other ways. And the only way unity happens is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. It is only by the Spirit of God that men who are naturally dispositioned for division, naturally dispositioned for chaos, naturally dispositioned to be at each other's throats, can come together as brothers and sisters, right? That's why the text said how good and how pleasant it is, how exciting it is, how rare it is that men can come together when they are dispositioned to be at odds. That's only by the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you that. Look, and we rush to a close. Look, I told Pastor Derek, look, I'm excited, man. I'll preach all day, right? But we understand that it is rare, right? It is required. It's realized only by the power of the Holy Spirit. And lastly, it results in blessings from top to bottom, right? It results in blessings from top to bottom. As Pastor Derek read the text, he says, it is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Now, you look at Wakanda. Go back to Wakanda. Come on. Think about it. Envision it. The king was not the only one that was thriving. Yeah, some of y'all gonna shout later when that hits you, right? The king was not the only one that was thriving, but everyone who came under the kingship was thriving as well. Ah, yeah, glory, right? Everyone who came under the fact that T'Challa was king, right? They were blessed and experienced the blessings of Wakanda. I want to submit to somebody today that when we submit ourselves under the kingship of Jesus Christ, when we submit ourselves under the lordship of Jesus Christ, it is his design that everybody thrives, that everybody has life and life more abundantly. Look, y'all go ahead and shout right where you're at. Run around with your pajamas, run around with your coffee in your hand right now and say, I am thriving because I'm under the right king. Now you go ahead and be a fool and place yourself under Killmonger. You go ahead and do that, right? But the king, see, the king, they thought the king was dead, but they found out that the king was still living, right? And when they found out that the king had risen from the dead and they placed themselves under the kingship of T'Challa, they said that world that Killmonger was creating, nah, I want this world over here, right? Where the real king causes me to thrive. Right? And so I want to say to you today that when we are aligned in unity, when we are aligned in unity, it will result in blessings from top to bottom. Right? It won't just be the 1% surviving and thriving. It won't just be the 1%, right, who has access to healthcare. It won't just be the 1% that has access to healthy foods. It won't just be the 1% that has access to great classrooms. It won't just be the 1% that has access to great roads and clean water and all. It won't just be the 1%. But when we come under the lordship, under the kingship of the right king, we experience blessings from top to bottom. And I want to submit to us, we need to get under the right king so that our children will be blessed. We need to get under the right king so that our neighborhoods will be blessed. We need to get under the right king so that our cities will be blessed. We need to get under the right king so our state, our nation, and the very globe will be blessed. And I want to close with this. We have an obligation. We have an obligation. Because this unity is rare, because this unity is required, because this unity is something that is realized by the working of the Spirit, and because this unity results in blessings from top to bottom, you and I have an obligation. You and I have a responsibility as brothers and sisters when it comes to this unity. And so I want to end with this in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Amen. Galatians. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. This is what it says. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all and you all. We have an obligation as brothers and sisters in a kingdom Wakanda to preserve the unity. We have an obligation to stand boldly together against the adversary who comes to divide us. We have an obligation to stand boldly in times such as these, where the adversary does not want the world to know who Jesus is, does not want the world to see the power of what actually happened on the cross of Calvary, does not want the world to know that he has torn down the walls of separation, that he has taken the two and made them one, that by his precious blood, his atoning sacrifice, those of us who were to be divided, he has brought us together, Jew and Gentile, slave and free, male and female. He has done it, and nobody can do it like Jesus. Nobody can do it like Jesus. No political party, no economic solution, no social solution. Nobody can do it like Jesus. Because when I was far off, right? When I was in darkness, he brought me into the marvelous light. When I was broken, he healed me. He picked me up, turned my life around, and brought me into a space that was a kingdom Wakanda. So I give glory to God today, and I encourage you today to protect the unity of the body, to walk in unity, to love each other, to be gracious, to be forgiving, to be generous, to do all of the things that we know to do, because our King has united us, even in the chaos. Thank you, Embassy Church. Thank you, Kinship Church. Let's walk in unity and show the world that he is who he says he is. Pastor Derek.